The place to be is living free. Living free in Tennessee.
Welcome to Living Free in Tennessee, where we talk about building the life you choose on your terms. Today is Monday, March 24th, 2025, and this is episode 1020 of Living Free in Tennessee. And today I started thinking about episode 20 because we're at 1020. And when I was at episode 20, it was not even in my mind that we'd be here this long. So that's kind of cool. Anyway, today is a Monday show. And we're going to talk about the word of the year, and more specifically, my word of the year, which is hone. It's enrich. I don't know why I said hone. Anyway, it was hone last year. This year, it's enrich. Big lessons so far in 2025 for me. And also, we'll cover the usual Monday segments, tales from the prepper pantry, a frugality tip from Margo, and Operation Independence. It looks like we did not get a shopping report from Joe this week. Probably means that they did not go shopping this week, because now that Joe is retired, he doesn't go shopping every week. So we'll hear from him soon, I'm sure. Welcome to the live stream, Beth Emily. Speaking of the live stream, so we record these shows live. And if you want to ask a question or put a comment in, especially when I don't have an interview show, please put the word question or comment in all caps so I can see it, and I'll mark it so that I can bring it up as we go or later in the show just to cover what you have to say. Okay, let's move on to the featured event of today's show, which is the Living Free in Tennessee GSD. That's GSD for Get Shit Done weekend here at the Holler Homestead. It is Saturday and Sunday. We start 9 a.m. Saturday and 3 p.m. Sunday. And people can come one day only, a few days only, or you can come and camp overnight. If you go to livingfreeintennessee.com or use the link in the show notes, you can see all the things that we are focusing on for the GSD weekend, and it's a list of projects that's way longer than what we're going to get done. Like, my biggest priority is rebuilding the deck around the compost outhouse that gets used the most at my workshop. And Ken Esch was here, and I was like, I might want you to maybe advise on that to, you know, while you're here, because I want to make sure I have all the supplies on hand. I think that Nighthawk's also going to be milling one of the trees that's down in my yard. It's a chestnut tree, so I wanted to get that milled as well. So that is what's happening there. And if you want to come and spend the night, just use the form and let me know so I know how much food to cook. I did put the menu up for what I'm cooking. One of the things is meatloaf, so knowing how much meatloaf to cook by, I don't know, about Thursday this week would be super helpful. Anyway, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. We're kind of going old style, old school GSD weekend, where there's a big old list. We divide and conquer, or if there's only a few of us, then we get one thing done really well, and then we have beer around the campfire at night, and then do it again the next day, and then wrap by 3 p.m. so we can all get back to our houses and do our laundry or whatever before Monday. I also want to thank two sponsors today. The first sponsor is EMP Shield. Hey, we had storms last night, and guess what? Lightning struck, but it didn't strike my house. But if it had struck my house and it had struck the transformer over on the pole, and that bolt jolt had gone through the lines and gone to my two electrical services, guess what? I would have been fine, because I have EMP Shield devices installed for my house to have protection for the whole house. If it fails, of course, you know, you get a $25,000 replacement policy, but you don't have to do that usually, because it's one of the best devices on the market. And if the device works, it means it fries, which means it's not working anymore. If you send that into them for $50, they'll send you a new one. And they have a wall of fame with their fried devices that have kept people from losing a whole bunch more. Check them out at empshield.com, and also use the coupon code LFTN for Living Free in Tennessee, and you'll get $50 off any device that you want. And you can use that coupon code as many times as you want. So that's also a very cool thing about EMP Shield. Our second sponsor of the day's show. Okay, so I sent an email to the person who prepares my corporate taxes today. And she's like, holy cow, I'm busy. That's right, because doing the taxes at this time of year is where everybody's focused in the financial world. Well, if you want to figure out how to structure your situation so that you can take advantage of the tax code, right? Because a tiny bit of the tax code is how you have to pay taxes. And then most of the tax code is how you can avoid paying taxes by using what's built into the tax structure already, perfectly legal. Agris Tax Advice will work with you to analyze where all of your finances go and then suggest ways you can structure yourself and make sure you're taking advantage of tax write-offs. And he'll tell you how to document them. If there are any risks associated with taking tax write-offs, he will tell you about those too. Find out more at agristaxadvice.com. agristaxadvice.com/LFTN, I think, takes you to a sign-up page for an email, or it gives you a free consultation. I don't know which, but that's the link I have in the show notes. So when you click that, it's going to take you to that location. Check it out, agristaxadvice.com. Everybody ready for the first segment today? Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. Tales from the Prepper Pantry. This is where we talk about storing what you use and using what you store. And Beth Emily says it, that Prepper Pantry is looking fantastic. Yes, it is. We are like so close. So very close. I got the floor sealed where the freezers go. So probably not today because Mondays things just don't happen, but probably tomorrow. Three of my four freezers will be in place completely. And then I can vacuum the other half of the Prepper Pantry and seal that floor as well. And wood paneling is going up this week, I believe. I got to go to the store and buy the wood paneling, though. I got to go pick it up because it's not something that I can get delivered. So that's going to happen. And then finally, I can start taking stuff out of my carport that's been there since last September and put it away. Put it away now. purge it because it is the year of purge for me as well. And I'm pretty excited about it. It's been interesting operating with so many things tucked so many different places. It's a lot harder to keep track of. And I have a lot more empathy for people who live in tiny homes and have to use every nook and cranny, by the way. So that's exciting news from the Prepper Pantry. We are launching a new video shorts series this week. I'm calling it right now, but it may have a better name by the time the first video comes out. Can you do that with mayonnaise? It's not about what to use mayonnaise for, though, although we should totally do a series on that. It's about, can you make mayonnaise from different things? Because what I've noticed has happened since I first started homesteading, it was very easy to find great recipes for making mayonnaise. Now, if I type it in like a search, some of the recipes I find for mayonnaise are not recipes for mayonnaise. They won't work. And then other ones are like, it absolutely has to be this way or else it won't work. And what I have been doing is making mayonnaise with a lot of different things to see if it would work. So shot the first video today. I'll be producing it this week. And I was out of lemon juice, so I had to substitute something else to make the mayonnaise with, and it did work. And that's the video series. And each one will include the recipe for how I made that particular mayonnaise. So mayonnaise is an interesting condiment that you can make a lot of different ways, just like ketchup. You can make ketchup thousands of different ways, but we get so used to like the Hellmann's in the store that we don't think about it. Also, the video I shot today has no cuts. There's one moment where I leave and go wash my hands because I had touched the egg when I was separating the white from the yolk. I had touched the egg and I just didn't want to touch stuff with my eggy hands. So I washed them. The entire length of the video is probably under 2 minutes. I don't know. I haven't produced it yet, but I'm not going to do any cuts so you can see how fast you can make mayonnaise as well. So that if you're telling yourself you don't have time to make mayonnaise, you might need to tell yourself a different story about why you're not making mayonnaise. And we do use mayonnaise here a lot in salad dressings in particular, but I like making it from whole ingredients because as our food, like big food industry has developed, they have started adding a lot of other things to mayonnaise. So we keep ours to just base ingredients, which is, you know, lemon juice, egg, and oil. Those are the like three things you absolutely have to have. Although some of those things can kind of switch out, and we'll get into that as part of this series. The taco soup. So this week's interesting recipe was taco soup. There was a holler neighbor, like an impromptu holler neighbor dinner on Friday. I found out that the Eversoles were going to be around on Thursday night. And so we did taco night because that's what I'm able to pull out of my ear on no notice that somebody's going to be here for the dinner. And so everybody like contributed. Lynn brought over charcuterie, which was delicious. And she made these olives that were amazing. And then I did beef taco meat. Tracy did pork shoulder taco meat. And then they hit the store. I had grated cheese. They hit, and I had cabbage. They hit the store and got like some queso so I could make a cheese sauce. I had guacamole on hand. And then what else? I don't know. Sour cream, like just sides. And oh, they brought like tortillas and stuff because I actually ate carbs as part of that meal. What they left though, I had a whole bunch of leftover taco meat, gave some to Lynn, and then we still had some here. And yesterday was a really busy day for me because there was a webinar, and I have learned some things about webinar day. And then my friend Jana, her husband who has passed away, so her deceased husband's birthday was yesterday, and she was at her house up here instead of at her house in Chattanooga. And she had sort of an impromptu, it was impromptu weekend, by the way, an impromptu potluck slash bonfire to just celebrate Matt and have a gathering with friends. And so I wanted to go over to that too. And I went over there and she had made her potluck thing was taco soup. And I was like, well, that's really interesting. And she's like, yeah, I just had all this canned food that I mixed together and made taco soup and put taco seasonings in. And it had like, you know, some chicken, some taco seasoned chicken, and beans and corn and, you know, tomatoes and whatever that she found. And I didn't eat it, of course, because I'm allergic to beans. But it looked really good. And I was like, you know, I had no idea what to do for dinner tonight. I'm going to be getting home from this at like 6:30. And then I'm going to start cooking, which is later than we usually eat. But I have leftover taco meat to use up. I have leftover queso, like the cheese sauce. I made the queso into cheese sauce. So I have leftover cheese sauce to use up. I have, and there was a salsa incident. So I had a half a jar of salsa to use up, and I'll tell you why in a minute. And then I also had a commercial can of like chicken corn chowder. And I keep two cans of commercially canned soup on hand in case I get sick. It's my illness backup plan. But the last time I had changed those out was 2021. And they expired in 2022. So I have been building those into meals. And then I need to get two more cans for my sick shelf, basically. The reason I do that, guys, is that if I'm really sick and can't move, somebody can come and take one of those jars or cans, put it in a bowl, go down to the camper, pop it in the microwave and heat it up, or put it on the stove and heat it up. And I don't have to worry about telling them to boil it for 5 minutes. So it's a very easy, like, I need food, I can't move, or I don't want to move, please help me, or I'm going to do it, and I'm not going to move very much, and I don't have to sit there and wait for 5 minutes, which when you're sick seems like 5 hours. And then it's, you know, sustenance. And a can of food like that when I have the flu or something will last like 2 or 3 days, because it's not like you're eating a lot in that situation anyway. But you're like, I have to have calories, and you're like, okay, I got 25 calories, cool. Anyway, I put that all into a pot. I had a green pepper and some onions, and I sauteed those up, put it in the pot, stirred it up. It was delicious. That's what we had for dinner last night. Tactical ate. Like, there was enough. If it made enough to serve about 6 people, and I had 1 serving, he ate the other 5 servings. Like, I went to put the leftovers away, and I was like, well, you were hungry. He was like, yeah, I was really hungry. That was really good. So, you know, don't be afraid to try stuff like that. It seems like a bunch of disjointed ingredients, but it turned into taco soup, and taco soup is delicious. And if you are a corn chip eating type, you could put, you know, like corn chips sprinkled over the top for crunchies or whatever. Now, the reason I had a half jar of salsa is I was up. I've been storing pantry items on this shelf that's between like over my door and the ceiling in my living room, and actually the whole house. And it's a great storage area, except for there's a couple places where a nail is sticking up where the person who built the house had strung like Christmas lights up there that he had on a light switch, which are disconnected. And some of those, like, they're big lights. So they're not like the big lights, but they're like bigger than the tiny lights. So they're somewhere in between those two sizes. And some of them were stapled so well, I've never like really gotten up there with a grinder to grind the, or a Dremel tool to cut off the staple or the nail that's sticking up. And so sometimes the jars end up sitting on top of one of those light bulbs and I don't notice and they're tilty. Well, I was like up there poking around to get olives to take to my friend's potluck because yesterday was not a day where I was cooking new things. And I totally bumped a jar of salsa and it fell from the ceiling and kind of like bumped the door. I have a door sitting there that I need to paint the other side of before I put an indoor door, before I hang it in the bathroom. And then right onto my concrete floor, and I'm up on a step stool and I'm in no shoes. And I'm like, dang it, I have like salsa all over the door, salsa all over me, salsa all over the floor and broken glass and no shoes on. And I was like, okay, where can I step that doesn't have glass? Like, went and got shoes, went and like started cleaning it up. And I like carefully picked up the jar and it had not broken at all. What had happened is the lid came off when it hit the door and then salsa went everywhere. So I had a half jar of salsa to use up and that's why it went in the soup. Anyway, our next segment is frugality. It's a frugality tip from Margo. And this is what Margo says. Do you frequently cut the sleeves off of t-shirts? I do because someone I live with only wears sleeves to work. I use the sleeves for rags and plant ties. But the other day I cut a sleeve off and for some reason I was like, let me see if this fits on my head. Guess what? The sleeve of an XXL t-shirt makes a great headband for me. So yet another use for something you would normally throw away. I know I'm always looking for a crappy headband when I'm going to do a face mask. Now I'll be able to keep a sleeve or two around. Happy saving, y'all. Yeah, that's a great way to repurpose something you're getting rid of. Like, the reason you would cut sleeves off a t-shirt is t-shirts are really cheap and you want a tank top, for example. Or somebody's t-shirts are wearing out and they have holes right here where you lean up against the kitchen counter doing dishes or whatever. But sleeves are useful. So that's a great tip from Marco. Next up, we have Operation Independence. This is where we talk about building local ongoing revenue to our lives, as well as avoiding the need to pay a guy. I'm avoiding the need to pay a guy right now because my tomato seedlings are doing great. As long as I don't go out of town and they don't get watered, which totally could happen, I have more tomatoes than I'll need. They look great. I might be able to sell a few of them or I'll give them to other homesteaders who need tomatoes. I think Michelle may need some this year. But at this point, I'm not buying any plants this year because I've done all of my seedlings the right way, except sweet peppers. So like if I could trade the tomatoes for sweet peppers from somebody, I might do that. And then I've done everything exactly right for my garden this year. And I'm super happy about that. I also scored $150 on Friday because the people who picked up my totaled Chevy Tahoe skeleton, which did not have like an engine or a transmission anymore or wheels for that matter, they left behind the hood for some reason. And so I put it up for $150 and it was gone in an instant. So, you know, that was kind of cool. Purging is also enriching, as the case may be. And my word of the year is enrich. So I enriched my supplies budget, but with $150 by selling a piece of metal that was in my yard that I was going to have to drive to the scrapper myself. So always be looking for those opportunities, guys. That one was really easy. And then my thoughts on mayonnaise. So back to the mayonnaise is that if you buy high quality mayonnaise, it is for, I looked the other day, and if you buy it made with avocado oil instead of vegetable oil, because I also don't want vegetable oil. So I made mine with olive oil today, but you can make it with avocado oil. Both of those oils I'm willing to ingest. At the store for a pint, which is not even a quart. And by the way, Hellman's isn't a quart anymore either because it's shrinkflation. But a pint of avocado-based mayonnaise, which doesn't have a lot of extra preservatives, $16. $16. So every time I make mayonnaise from two eggs in my house that we've grown and one cup of whatever oil I have, and 2 teaspoons of lemon juice concentrate, I'm totally coming out ahead. And it's so fast and easy. Like, you know, I know that a thing of mayonnaise, like a big Hellman's is like, it's only $4 or whatever, but $16? Holy cannoli. Only don't use canola. That's all I'm saying. $8 for 12 ounces of avocado oil mayo here. Exactly. Exactly. A pint is 16 ounces. So it's something, you know, like you can't do everything. And I stopped making mayonnaise for almost 6 years because it took too much time. And then I figured out a way to make it take less time and be easier to clean up. Yep. And that easier to clean up thing was important for me because what was happening is I didn't want to have to clean my blender or my food mixer or my food processor. So now I have a super easy method that's way easier. Anyway, those are all my thoughts on Operation Independence. No big, like, I've figured out the key to making your homestead completely profitable. Although I did look at property this weekend near here with the idea of buying it and turning it into the Holler Neighbor community with lots for sale and some other stuff. And we may end up putting that together yet. It's been slow going, but I am going that direction because a lot of people want to come out this direction. And what I don't want is them on my 3 acres with me because it's, you know, we all like space. That's why we're attracted to this lifestyle. No, no. Okay. But the real reason you came here was the main topic of the day. And it's the word of the year update. And the word of the year is not hone, like I said in the promotional materials. It's enrich, which makes a whole huge difference about the entire thing I would talk about. But all of my points have to do with the word enrich. And every so often, I still like revert to hone. And I don't know, it's like my head's not quite embraced that we're on a new adventure. But I will say this. Choosing a word of the year is about setting an intention to guide your decisions and energy throughout the year. And it plays really nicely with the My Three Things method of lifestyle design that we use here at Living Free in Tennessee, because when you link it into your big picture vision, it can, and you're like, okay, but in order to reach that vision, this part of me needs to improve or change or whatever. The word of the year can really help support rapid growth. And it is nice to have that focus for a whole year because you learn different things throughout the year. And we're coming to the end of the first quarter right now. And enrich has been an interesting start to the year, right? Because it's sort of like hone in that I'm sharpening or refining and deepening. But the thing about enrich that I'm really learning is that it's not just about doing more, right? More for me or more for my community. It's about doing better. So Jenny says, I'm not done with last year's word either. I'm doing both words because they're needed. Yeah, so I think enrich and hone go hand in hand because without hone, enrich is going to totally fall apart. So I've had a couple lessons after the first quarter, and I'm actually making better progress with the word enrich than I've made with any word of the year for the first quarter. Usually what happens my first quarter is a complete meltdown related to the opposite of that word. And while I will say expensive things have happened to me since even before the word started, and I will say that due to decisions I've made, less money is coming in this quarter than is usually coming in the first quarter, it's all been with intention and not because it's a meltdown. And that difference makes a big difference to enrich my day-to-day life, just from a standpoint of I'm not panicked, right? Because I'd probably be panicked if otherwise, for sure. So there's a couple of lessons that I want to share with you, and I'm hoping it'll resonate with you as well. And the first one about the word enrich is to enrich the people you serve is absolutely necessary if you want to have an enriched life. So what I've been doing since before January, when I chose the word, I've been asking myself as I take on a project or task or something big is I ask myself one question. How does this enrich the people it serves? And that could be participants in an event. It could be my membership. It could be my listeners. It could be my neighbors, it could be my family. When I embark on something, you know, other than like cleaning a cast iron skillet, it's not like every tiny little thing, right? I ask, how does this enrich whoever it serves? And a good example of that are the member webinars, because member webinars came to be the primary membership benefit that happens because of Sue Zoldak. We decided to do these marketing webinars, a series of three. And she's like, you should do it for your membership. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. because the other membership benefits are that you get like access to downloadable MP3s of the show and some other stuff. But I was like, you know, how can I make this more valuable with my unique skill set? And webinars are one of my unique skill sets. I'm a teacher at heart. And so, and I have good relationships with other people who are can do great webinars. So it's like you can have this mixed batch, right? So the issue has always been like, it's January, when is what is February's topic? It's February, what is March's topic? And sometimes it'd be like, oh, finally, we got one for this month. Otherwise, it's me teaching all the time. And that's fine, but not fine in April, right? Like April, I have my spring workshop, and me also teaching a webinar can happen, but it's not the best time for me to do that. And in fact, my April webinar is not me teaching. It's Sarah Thompson teaching about homeopathy and using it yourself to help to respond to emergency situations, right? So the member webinars, my original intention was let's just do all 12 months, but then things change throughout the year and then you're going to want to have different webinars. So I was like, okay, I'll do a quarter at a time. So I've been scheduling 3 months out and it's a rolling 3 months. So I know what the webinars are going to be through May right now. I think it might be June. I could pull it up real quick and actually look at that. I know what they are. Yeah. So June, I don't know, but July, I do know. So now that March is done, it's time for me to choose and schedule the June webinar. But I know through May, which means when yesterday's webinar is done, I'm already ready to roll out the next webinar. And it's not like, oh, I got to ask Frankie if Frankie can do a presentation on beekeeping, which would be a really good webinar for June, as a matter of fact. Anyway, so this enriches the members because they can No, like I've been sending emails saying that this is the next 3 months every so often. So they know, okay, I have three webinars a year. That one looks really good. I'm going to use it for that one. Or if they are a premium member, they're like, sweet, I want to sign up. And it creates consistency, gives me more time to prepare, which means the quality of the webinars have gone up this year by quite a bit. It also, with that in mind and having that foundation done, it lets me respond quickly when things go wrong, because sometimes things go wrong in any project. Like we had a coupon code issue related to the webinar I just did about creating small scale events on your homestead, in that so the members get a coupon code they can use so they don't have to pay for the webinars, right? And some members get three a year and some members get unlimited. It just depends on which level you're at. Well, so there's two coupon codes and neither one of them was working. And I didn't know it until Friday when Tori tried and it didn't work, or maybe it was Thursday. And I didn't know it was both coupon codes. So I fixed her coupon code. And then another member's like, I'm trying and it's not working. And both of these people know me well enough to just let me know, thank goodness. So I wonder how many people tried to sign up and it didn't work. So by the way, if you're that person and you want to see that webinar, the recording's available and your coupon code is actually fixed now. So I was able to, yesterday when I found out the other coupon code wasn't working right, I was able to quickly dive in, fix it, and that was an hour before the webinar, maybe. It wasn't that long before the webinar. And in former years, I would have been like madly cramming to make sure I was ready to teach. But I was ready to teach, so no problem. But this also enriches me. It creates a better experience for members, which means more people are willing to stay members, like member retention, or more people are willing to try being a member. And it's also led to more one-off sales for people who don't want to be members, but just want to spend $35 on a webinar, right? And be like, I want to learn this. It's also enriched me because I'm not running around panicked about deadlines. I've done a lot less running around panicked about deadlines. It doesn't mean I haven't, like this morning, from when I got up at 6 until 12:30, I was racing to one task after another, after another, after another, until I was ready to do the show. That doesn't mean that doesn't happen. That's just how I work. And then when I'm in a hyper-focus mode, like I am every Monday morning, that's what I do, right? But it enriches me in that, like, I wasn't also feeling the dread of, oh my gosh, I'm letting people down, or I'm not going to make it, or constantly interrupted. Like, boom, this is what's happening. And that's where it's going to be. So from a mental health standpoint, having all of that in place and asking the question, you know, the initial question, which is how does this enrich the people it serves? it's led to me being more enriched myself. And the really cool thing is, because of this, a very major upgrade is about to come this year in how we deliver webinars and courses. And I'm really excited about it. And that has been progressing as well. So all of it's coming together where we're going to, part of the reason things go wrong with some of the, with the webinars and with getting them signed up and getting them launched is that the way they're integrated into my website is complicated. And the easiest way to simplify that is to launch the school as a separate website, which we can link then to my website. So that's been in the works since, well, really for sure in the works since December. And it would be done by now if I was willing to pull the trigger on something that wasn't done all the way. But I'm not. So back to how does this serve the people? No, how does this enrich the people it serves? It does not enrich anybody if they get there and there's a whole bunch, like there may be glitches anyway when it launches, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that's like stupid because we didn't take the time to get the words right. So the tech person involved in that has the tech nailed. It's me. You know, I have so much time to write words and instructions and those sorts of things. And I know it. And, you know, that's why we won't be seeing that until quarter two for sure. So my second lesson is that purge what doesn't serve. And this is a lesson that I keep coming back to on many different words of the year. Purge what doesn't serve is a big, big deal. It's a bigger deal than you think. So to enrich others and to enrich myself, I've realized I need to purge a lot. Any negative thoughts I have. Every time there's a negative thought, it does not serve me to invest time in the negative thought. And so I have to purge it. And if negative people are creating negative thoughts, I need to purge those relationships sometimes. Not every time. I need to purge stuff. I have so much stuff. It's ridiculous. And I have been getting rid of my stuff for years. And you guys have heard me getting rid of my stuff for years. I just found a whole bunch more of my stuff. Stuff that I like, by the way, that I didn't even like. I have a silver serving dish that I forgot I even had because it was in a doom box stored offsite. And now the stuff that was stored offsite in that location, some of it's ruined because it was stored offsite in a way that did not work well for the stuff. And so I was up there yesterday. I was like, well, this is a whole nother 2-day project up here that I've got to get into. But purge, 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 purge the stuff. The less stuff you have, the less stuff you have to take care of. And projects are another one, like constant projects. I'm very good at constant projects. I'm not even sure I'm happy if I don't have a project to do, to be completely honest. But when I've committed to too many projects on a deadline, it's a bad thing. And sometimes I'm doing projects because I said I would instead of because they're serving me. So any project that does not serve me or this homestead or where we're going here, there's no point in doing it. I've actually like totally cut some stuff where I'm like, why are we even doing this? We don't like it, right? It's kind of like my mixer, my what's it called? KitchenAid. I have a KitchenAid mixer, professional grade. And I don't eat bread or pasta or cookies or cake very often. And mostly what I was making with the KitchenAid was related to stuff like that. And I used to bake all of our bread and grind the wheat and all of that. But just as I've walked away from a carb-based diet, not a thing anymore. And it's a big, heavy piece of cast iron equipment, right? Like it's not the little one that you get that's consumer grade that's less heavy. No, it's the big commercial grade one, because if I was going to get a mixer by gum, I was going to get one that will, you know, whipping cream in, you know, 2 minutes flat or whatever. I don't know. So I was really lucky because somebody in our network was willing to permanently borrow it this year, and it went to her house and she got to use it for those things. And I didn't have it here. Well, it's coming back because we use it for the spring workshop in April. I just found it's coming back today. And then it can go back to her. I was like, I just need it in April for the spring workshop. And then I don't need it again. And I'm not 100% sure I need it for the spring workshop, but we'll find out. So, Kiri, there will be a KitchenAid mixer here for you in the kitchen, just FYI. But that's what I mean by purge. Either permanently get rid of it, permanently get rid of it, or get rid of it. Temporarily permanent, you know. That situation works great for me because I was going to store it in Facebook Marketplace by selling it and then buy one back and then sell it and then buy one used and then sell it. And this is way better because I know it's the commercial one, so it's really good, which is good for events, right? So that purge is huge. And it can be really hard to admit what's not serving you sometimes. And that's where the deep thought goes. Like when I have obligations, there, like all these obligations we take on ourselves, and then some of them don't serve you. And then like, why do you keep doing that? Every time you're doing it, you're sitting there frustrated that you're doing it. You're feeling that frustration. That is the sign you should be asking yourself the question, why am I frustrated? Am I frustrated because this doesn't serve me? Or am I frustrated because the situation's messed up? And a lot of times it's because we have caused a problem of our own making by deciding that this obligation was one that we were going to participate in, right? So Strongest Resources says, my Abundance Abounds class would make a great webinar. I'll email you about it. Yeah, you should. You absolutely should. So that's the thing. That purge thing, for some of us, it's a lot easier than others. But even my friends who are good at purging material items often keep negative thoughts and negative people and obligations in their lives lots longer than they ever should. And if you think I'm targeting you with this comment, I am. It's all about you. Okay, lesson number three is all about slowing my roll. I operate at the speed of light a lot of the time. Now, some people think I'm really slow because I don't start yet on things. But once I start the thing, I operate at the speed of light. But I've realized something, and that is to live an enriched life, I'm needing to slow down and finish things fully one at a time. And for somebody who leans on the ADHD side of life, this is very hard. There is a meme out there of this like picture of a person who looks dead with their eyes bloodshot and they're really big. And it's like, me with ADHD waiting for you to finish your sentence politely after I've already grasped the point you're making 10 seconds ago, right? That's how I got a lot of conversation. If you know, you know, right? So it can serve you so well to tap into the power that is the speed of light and scatter mode when you're an ADHD type person, because that allows you to see a lot of things at one time and how they're related in ways that nobody else can perceive. It's amazing. It's part of how we're able to do 3 weeks of work in 2 hours. It's because we really were working on that in our brain. We just hadn't taken action on it yet. And then when the production time comes, it's like, done. But the downfall of that is when we get it done, it really could use a proofread or one more go through to make sure it's done. But my natural inclination, once I've done that, is to walk away because it's done and go on to the next thing. I'm done with it when I've gone through the hyper-focus. So it's out. I don't want to forget it ever existed. But to enrich the people I serve and enrich myself as a result, slowing down and finishing things fully one at a time has made a huge difference. And it's also revealed to me more places I need to say no because there just simply isn't time. Like yesterday's a great example of that, where I had that webinar to do and I had my friend having her event and it's Sunday and I usually get coffee roasted on Sunday for Monday shipping. And then I usually do other selfish Sunday things like go for a longer swim or whatever, like get the meals ready for the week, just like pull the meat out of the pantry and all of that. Well, I woke up in the morning. I usually wake up pretty early and I was like, yeah, webinar day today. I want to do a really good job and blah, 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 blah. And in order to do that, I anticipate it will take me 4 hours of prep time today. And I was not wrong. It took exactly 4 hours of prep time. And that's before I did the webinar, which takes 2 hours, even though it takes an hour and a half, plus the half hour of reminding myself not to be late. half an hour before the webinar. The rule is you have to be at your computer remembering you have a webinar, because otherwise you'll get off to do something else. You'll get focused on that. And then you'll, you know, if you know, you know, right? So really it was 6 to 7 hours yesterday of time for the member webinar. And then also a trip over the hill to my friend's house and back. And I was like, let's just be completely honest with ourselves today. If we're going to slow down and finish things fully one at a time, we're not adding anything else to the list. And as a result of that, I got to do some yard projects. I got to do some gardening things. I got to do some things I actually really like to do on Sunday, because I didn't try also cram in roasting coffee for 4 hours, right? And that's a big lesson, because I, you know, I'm not panicked about not roasting coffee because orders are going out today, but I'm also not trying to fit it all in anyway and just doing a half-ass job. Because if I'm going to enrich myself and if I'm going to enrich the community, then half-assed doesn't cut it. Like, unless there's an emergency, half-assed doesn't cut it. But I still do build in time for scatter mode, because when I see the patterns other people miss, that's very, very powerful. That's actually one of the biggest powers of ADHD, is the pattern recognition. So I'm just balancing more intentionally now as a result of just focusing in on how I can enrich things around me. I'm focusing more intentionally on how I use those modes of hyperfocus and scatter. And it's made a really big difference in my life. And again, like the mental health, like the feeling calmer and less panicked all the time, because I pretty much have felt panicked for more than 50 years. I mean, basically I'm panicked all the time. And people are like, you're so busy, Nicole. I'm like, no, I just show you guys. Apparently you can see that I feel panicked all the time because I feel like I'm missing a deadline and I got to do more. Yeah. Slowing the roll. That's been a good one. So I really think the key to enriching our world here at the Holler Homestead, in the Living Free in Tennessee community, at Holler Roast Coffee, it's not about how many memberships or spring workshop tickets we sell. It's not about, do I get 1,000 people at Self-Reliance Festival instead of 600 this time? It's not about that. It's about asking two key questions. And the first question to ask is, how is this going to enrich the buyer or the people that are going to be helped by this thing? And then the second question is, how does it enrich my life? Because you can't purge if you don't ask that second question. You'll just always do more. So many coaches teach you to do more. And they're right. You should work hard. If you want something, you should work hard for it every single day. They teach you to sacrifice for a better future, right? And yes, there are trade-offs that, especially when it's things that don't serve you, you should get rid of that, sacrifice that to build a life that you love, or to build your business, or whatever it is you want. To build what you want is probably the best way to say that. But it's even more important to embrace that you are enriching yourself first. And we're taught this is selfish, but it's not selfish, because when you enrich yourself first, you are enriching others. You are coming from a place where you can enrich others, including the people you love, like your family and friends in your community. And it may not be with money every time, but you do deserve an enriched life, whatever that means for you. You deserve to be happy, and you deserve to build what you want. And the only person who can do that is you. So go get it. If you like the show and want to support the work I'm doing here, you can do it in two ways. One, get your coffee at hollerroast.com. Two, consider becoming a member. Head over to livingfreeintennessee.com to find out more. With that, guys, go out. Make it a great week.